This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on December 18th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is Monday night. We have 3 hours of trivia, and I didn't mean for it to be stealth. I told you on the air last week that we started at, at midnight 30, and we don't. Obviously, it's 10 o'clock, and here we are. We did start at midnight 30 last week, so my calendar had it wrong. So we have 3 hours to spend together, and in that fun. We have a straggler, and the straggler is actually from 2 weeks ago, because last week we had the 20-minute show. And our straggler is, and again, what's interesting to me about the straggler is I've had it down for over a year, and I've hesitated to ask it because I thought, oh, you'll get this instantly. And here we are with the straggler. If you don't get it by the end of the night tonight, well then, I will tell you the answer, because I won't let it hang out any longer than that. The bumper stumpers are all up for grabs. There is a theme, and some of the bumper stumpers are easy, and by some accounts, the theme is easy, but I'll leave it to you. All right, as for that straggler question, most of us wouldn't view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created a career based on it. Who and what? All right, so that's the straggler question. And if you don't like my question, and you don't know any of my bumper stumpers, because I haven't even played one yet, but when I do, you can have your own category. And sky is the limit there, as we prove every week, because everybody knows something about something. You know, and in case of Johnny D, it's hominins. So that's about as far out as we've ever gotten on this. But proving that whatever it is you have an arcane, vast knowledge about, well, that's the topic to request. And we'll find a question for you. Now, of course, when it comes to Barry in New Hampshire, we know where he's going. Although sometimes he gives us advertising and sometimes he gets that right. But traditionally, Barry is our resident idiot savant when it comes to all things Beatles. So, all right, Barry, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh.
How are
going
you?
Going for three run.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you found out. Now, I'm looking for the perfect Beatles question for you because, of course, you're just so darn good at this. I've actually thought about investing in some books. Apparently, they have arcane Beatles trivia books, but you probably own them all. So, with that in mind, let's see what we can do. And I was just reading some things. Okay, here's the hardest Beatles trivia quiz. And don't you love the way they all claim that? So let's see. The hardest. We'll pick a question. Oh, that's too easy. I looked at this and I knew the answer, so we know we're in trouble. So let's see. This is interesting. I should know this, and it doesn't come to mind easily. So let's just go there. All right. We're talking Beatles 45s. We're talking A side in this case, and I Love Her. What was on the B side?
Hodge Day Night?
No, If I Fell.
Oh.
Yes. So that was the deal. And I Love Her was inspired by Jane Asher, Paul McCartney's girlfriend at the time. And apparently there were several others inspired by her, because Paul wasn't always a good boy. In any event, it was If I Fell. I'm very surprised. I figured you would have known all the A and B sides of this stuff.
I should have, and I did know that, but I...
Well, there's...
I thought that In I Love Her was on the in the movie Thursday Night.
You know, you got me. I can't... I certainly can't comment on any of this, but I did happen to know that the B-side was If I Fell, because I actually played that. But yeah, well, there's always next week.
Okay, for the Straggler, was it Alex Rocco?
No, who was Alex Rocco?
He was an actor who was really, well, I guess he was a mobster, but he turned actor.
Oh, that's a career change, isn't it?
Yeah. And he went, well, that was his name as an actor, Alex Rocco. He was on TV shows and movies.
Uh-huh. Well, no. That's all I can tell you is no. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks,
Raleigh. Good deal. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Ruth wants, let's see, mistletoe trivia, or song lyrics, or something else. Well, we'll find one of those things, and in the meantime, Bruce from Elwood wants to guess on our trivia question. Maybe it will be gotten tonight, we will see. And your first bumper stumper, obviously a theme won't be apparent, but your first bumper stumper is coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is that? And a well-known name, particularly for songwriting and producing and for the groups he was involved with, but that's a solo act. He's usually not a singer and usually not really in that that vein so much. That was a Lieber Stoller composition, 1962 on Atlantic. But who is he? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. All right, so... Most of us wouldn't view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created an entire career based on it. Who and what? All right, that's our question out there, and then we'll get to your categories, and I know you'll have them. All right, and I'll work to find out the, for one thing, the perfect mistletoe question for Ruth. I'm still working on that. So, in the meantime, Bruce and Elwood, welcome back to WGN Radio. Bruce is leaving us? I guess so. All right, well... Sorry about that. Now, maybe he'll call back, or I don't know. Well, in the meantime, we got a first-time caller. That would be Chuck in Bloomington. Hello, Chuck. Welcome to WGN Radio.
I think I have the answer to the Godfather question.
Good. What do you think?
Is it the guy that pounded Godfather's Pizza?
No, it's not.
Oh,
but thanks for trying. I sure appreciate it. I hope you call again. All right.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and actually, the original Godfather's Pizza founder was a guy in Omaha who you probably never heard of, and he sold it quickly. And then, of course, it went into venture capital, and that's when Herman Cain got involved with it and all that. But no, it has nothing to do with Godfather Pizza. And apparently, I have screwed up. Gee, what a concept. How unusual. Bruce called back, and this time we'll get him on the air. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
This is kind of off the wall. I think it might the answer to that might be Bruce Cutler.
No, who's that?
That was John Gotti in The Family Lawyer.
Oh, interesting. No.
No. Okay.
All right. Thanks for trying. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
So 888-876-5593. While I've been looking for Ruth's question, I have learned quite a bit about mistletoe. Did you know it's parasitic? That's right. It it survives because it's eaten off another tree. Yeah, that's the way that is. So let's see what else we can do. We can talk. What am I doing? I'm doing something tremendously wrong here. And there. All right. So now we'll be able to have people on the air again. What a concept. Lisa in Dundee. How's it going, Lisa?
Good. How are you?
All right. So Chris,
I'm happy that you're here for the whole show.
Well, it surprised me, but yes, and thank God for Carol, who keeps me in line. So we want Christmas movie trivia. Now, of course, I assume that that's a finite group of movies, Christmas movies, and I assume you've seen every one of them.
Oh, well, not every one of them, but the older ones, certainly.
Okay.
So, anything from late 30s to early 50s.
All right. So, of course, I'm looking at these questions having absolutely no idea from what year they come. So maybe someone will actually be willing to give me trivia questions that include years. And here's 125 trivia questions. And the first one's from 2003. Very good.
Or if it says anything about classic Christmas movies or anything like that, black and white ones.
All right. Good enough. And, I actually know this one, interestingly. Hard as it is to believe, and that is A Christmas Story from 1983. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So what I want to know is, what item in the Parker household does Ralphie Parker's father win in a contest?
Oh, he wins the lamp that's shaped like a leg.
Yes, absolutely right. He wins a leg lamp. That's absolutely
right.
I'm
so happy about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's terrific. All right. Well, good deal. See, you're a winner.
Perfect.
All right.
And from 1983, no less.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And
great. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Apparently, a lot of people have seen this movie because TBS runs an annual 24-hour marathon of this particular movie. So
yes.
I don't know if they still do, but
I think they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hang on. Don't go away.
Perfect. Right, so thank you very much.
My
have
pleasure.
A good week.
You too. All right. So, yes. There you have Christmas, A Christmas Story. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And let's see what, all right, Jerry is in Montana. So, all right, Jerry, what's happening tonight in Montana?
Hello there. I don't even like Godfather's Pizza, but I think the trivia question answer is David Chase from The Sopranos.
No, it's not. I should mention that the guy who patterned his entire career on it, who considered it a great inspiration, has nothing to do with the movie and nothing to do with mobsters.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. You have me.
Well, so. If you keep listening, I'll reveal it at the end of the night, and you'll say, I can't believe I didn't think of it.
Yeah, and besides the fact I don't like Godfather's Pizza, I don't really like sports, so it's good to hear the entire show tonight.
Thank you. You know, I must admit, I don't know that I've ever had Godfather's Pizza, so I guess I can't comment. But I'll assume that, you know, of course, in Chicago, it's the Great Pizza Wars, you know, and I hesitate to say it out loud, but I'm not a deep dish fan. So right there, that...
I'm not either. I go for the thin crust.
Yeah, absolutely. Things that they make in Newark, you know, or Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Well, good deal. Thanks for calling. Do it again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Raleigh. Bye-bye.
Good deal. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So let's see. Johnny D is in Youngstown, and so or thereabouts in Ohio. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, que pasa?
Nada.
Now you can say nada.
No, I know. I can.
Last time I said you said nada.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. That's the answer, no matter what. I mean, what do you want me to say? Estoy bien, gracias, y tú? You know, I remember the dialogues also. God, remember that in junior high they had that audiolingual method, where you'd have to remember. Yeah. Hola, Isabel, ¿cómo estás? Estoy bien, gracias. Bien, gracias. Oye, ¿quién es ese chico? Es un amigo mío. You know, and on it went. And I remember the second or third one was albóndigas. Yeah.
Well, you remember more than I do. I know that.
Well,
Must be that.
Yeah. Huh? I say, I kind of paid attention, but mostly I just stole the tapes, the reel-to-reels. Yeah. So.
Well, all right, anyhow, yeah, I'm glad you're on for the 3 hours tonight. Yeah. I was, you know, and then I checked your website, I don't know, yesterday or something, and you said you made a mistake again, you know how you do.
Yes.
And anyhow, so I wanted to guess at the Godfather question. And occasionally... the lovely and talented Becky turned me on to this show.
Ah.
Because I didn't even know about it, but then she said, there's this good show on Newsmax you might like. All right. And so she said, this guy named John Tobacco. It's either Debacco or Tobacco. One of the two. And it's called Wise Guys. And he's like, well, he wasn't a mobster, I don't believe, but he's like an Italian guy. And he does like this show by New York or something.
I'm pretty sure. I know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it's not right, though. I'm pretty sure what I was trying to do is look up the orientation of the person who did build his entire career on it. I don't believe he was Italian.
Well, anyhow, my guess was the show called Wise Guys and this guy named John Tobacco or something like that.
Okay.
So I didn't get that. Okay. Nope. He's not Italian. All right.
No, I just looked it up and confirmed. Not Italian.
Well, then, hell, I don't know who it is. That was my guess.
Well, when you hear it again, it'll be one of those, I'm glad you can't come in person because you'd beat me above the head on this and all sorts of things like that. So, all right. All right. But you probably want a hominin question, and I'm not at all prepared, but I guess I can be. Let's see.
You can go to the next person and come back.
Let's see if I can just quickly get one of these.
You could circle back.
I could, but no, we're gonna see about.
Who's to say that? Who's to say that? One of them impressed people.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, one of them presidential.
Press secretaries. We'll circle back to that. That sounds like a press secretary answer, doesn't it? So
we'll circle back on that.
Yes. Okay.
I think it was the Red Hot Chili Pepper.
There you are. All right.
Yeah?
We're going to talk about the Oreopithecus.
Wait a minute. Say it again?
The Oreopithecus.
Oreopithecus. All right, go ahead.
Which I thought was like the Cookie Monster or something, but apparently not. The Oreopithecus, A, had small, low-crowned incisors. B, had a brain similar to that of other similarly sized great apes. C, had long, curved phalanges that clearly indicate bipedalism. And D, dentition not consistent with a folivorous diet.
Okay. Oreopithecus. Now, it's in my mind. It's in my mind. I'm trying to picture it. Okay. What were the choices again?
All right. By the way, I'm looking up so I can see the picture of the Oreopithecus while I read, but of course, this is just obviously an artist rendition. But
yeah.
All right.
Artist rendition.
Yeah, right. Clearly, clearly the Oreopithecus wasn't posing. A, had small, low-crowned incisors. B, had a brain case similar to that of other similarly sized great apes. C, had long, curved phalanges that clearly indicate bipedalism. And D, dentition not consistent with a folivorous diet. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. The news beckons. You'll have plenty of time to think. Aren't you lucky? Don't stay right where you are, and we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
Well, if your hands start to clapping and your fingers start to popping and your feet start to moving around, and if you start to swing and sway when a band starts to play a real cool and way out sound, and if you get the can't help it and you can't sit down, you feel like you gotta move around.
Need a shot of rhythm and blues.
Just a little rock and roll on the side, just for good measure.
Need a pair of dancing shoes.
With your lover by your side, then you know you're gonna have a lot of pleasure. Don't you worry about a thing if you start to dance and sing and chill bumps come up on you. And when that rhythm finally hits you and the beat gets you too, well, here's the thing for you to do.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is that? That's your second bumper stumper. What's he have in common with your first bumper stumper? So we got a theme going. We got bumper stumpers, and if you know the artist, you win just for that. The prizes aren't worth having. Last year, well, actually the beginning of this year, we vowed that we would get all the prizes out by Christmas. Well, a lot's happened since then, to say the least. We're not even making a promise for New Year's, but we are getting in the mailing mode, so eventually you'll have your prize. That won't be worth the postage it takes to get it to you, but you'll get a certificate and something else for each win, a tabloid or a DVD or a CD or something. All right, so now with that in mind, you're playing for the fun of it, and I am grateful for it. All you have to do is remember the phone number, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So you got two bumper stumpers in play, and now our straggler. Most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created a career based on it. Who and what? Yeah, an entire career. And no, he was not a mobster. He was not Italian. So, yeah, and he didn't make pizza. All right, so with that in mind, we go back to Johnny D. We left Johnny D and the Oreopithecus. Get hungry just saying it. And so, would you like us to review the answers again?
Yes, I would, Raleigh. But first, I want to say there was a joke I remember hearing that if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes.
Because he's going to have a bunch of stuff in store for you you don't even know about.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. A man plans, God laughs. Yes, absolutely.
I never heard it put that way, but yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. So.
All right. We're back to go over the question. Oreopithecus, go ahead.
A, had small, low, crowned incisors. B, had a brain case similar to that of other similarly sized great apes. C, had long, curved phalanges that clearly indicate bipedalism. And D, dentition not consistent with a folivorous diet.
Hmm. Well, Oreopithecus was
an old guy.
An old son of a gun. Matter of fact, it wasn't even in Africa. I believe it was in Europe. It was one of them precursors. Yeah.
Yeah, he was from Miocene epoch.
Okay. Now, there's two there. Well, firstly, it had a brain size, not as a great ape, but as a, what were the chimpanzees? About as big as a chimpanzee, so it wasn't that, though.
Okay.
Now, it had dentition
Yes, dentition. Not consistent with a folivorous diet.
With a folivorous diet. Yeah, that one.
Well, you're somewhat right in terms of you got the mouth right, but no, it had small, low-crowned incisors.
Son of a gun. Well, okay. Okay, well, then I was thinking it was one of those two. I picked the wrong one.
That's right.
You led me into it. You didn't let me finish what I was my thought. Okay. All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, talk to you next week. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a nice holiday.
You too. You too. All right. Of course, we will be here live on Christmas night, along with Steve Bryant, who holiday tradition, he joins me. And we'll be playing back your poll, the one you asked for, the guilty pleasures, those songs that you truly love but are embarrassed to even admit that you like. And so keep voting on that because it is a cumulative title, a total. So with that in mind, we're tabulating all the votes and Carol, World's Best Show Prep, is doing that, meaning that it's really going to be a legitimate list. I mean, not that I, you know, in fact, fudge the lists for my own interests. I just lose some of the votes. Well, this time I'm even forwarding emails that I get when you vote by email or by phone message, but I would suggest you call the show. So whatever we're talking about, you can stop what you're doing and say, hey, I want to add my guilty pleasures to the list, and then just tell us what they are. It's that simple. All right, so Ruth is in Gurnee, and Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you, Ruth?
Hi, Raleigh.
Yeah.
I was sitting here wondering whether or not I had gotten disconnected.
No.
Because I couldn't hear you in the very beginning.
No, you don't.
I do have through.
I was going to say, in this studio, I work at a different studios. In this studio, I didn't wire it for the return feed from WGN. So you don't hear me during the breaks.
I know. That's good. I enjoy that. I like that. I have three requests for songs, though, but do the mistletoe, and I'm always fascinated when you come up with a question because, well, I'm not have the winning answer, but I'd rather hear your question because it gives me information that I didn't know and everyone else out there at the same time. Okay, so mistletoe.
Yeah. Well, there are a ton of theories and stories and myths about how mistletoe became the kissing plant. However, what I want to know, because I think the most colorful of them is not the Greeks and their fertility, and it's not the Druids and all that, it's the Norse myth. So what I want to know from you is, what is the Norse myth about mistletoe?
Nope, I didn't hear about that ever. But I was hoping you'd find a song that had mistletoe in it,
and
I might be able to identify the song.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. But let's get to the answer anyway, since it's somewhat interesting. When God Odin's son Baldur was prophesied to die, his mother Frigg, the goddess of love, went to all the animals and plants of the natural world to secure an oath that they would not harm him. But Frigg neglected to consult with the unassuming mistletoe. So the scheming god Loki made an arrow from the plant and saw that it was used to kill the otherwise invincible Baldur. Now, according to one version of the myth, the gods were able to resurrect Baldur from the dead. But whether they did that or not, Frigg was really delighted at the whole concept and declared the mistletoe a symbol of love and vowed to plant a kiss on all those who passed underneath it.
Wow. Well, that's great. That is really some interesting. Oddly, a couple of times you brought out the, you know, way back when mythology, the gods and things.
Yep.
I remember that. I remember when they were fighting. Not a lot, but I actually remember it the same way you would remember a memory of anything in the lifetime you have right now or a previous lifetime. I remember the time frame from the mythology
really?
Gods. So I'm going to go now to my requests for songs.
Okay.
First one is 100 Pounds of Clay.
Okay, sure. Gene McDaniel's happy to do it.
Okay. The next one is Frosty the Snowman, Jimmy Durante.
Probably not. What's after that?
Okay, well, that embarrassed, right?
Yeah.
Third one would be, and this one I have to give a little bit of information about this one and why. When I was at the O'Hare Military Hangar during the 1968 Democratic Convention, and thousands, hundreds of soldiers were returning back to go to board the planes and go all over back wherever they were coming from. I knew there was someone out there in the evening among, you know, like, oh, maybe 100 or so or more at each time would come in and leave within 10, 15 minutes. So I knew there was somebody of significant importance there. Mm-hmm. And I had premonitions never to go to Soldier's Field in my life or ever to go to the little Bighorn restaurant in Mundelein. And someday I'm going to tell you about at least over 60 premonitions that I've had in my lifetime. And the first one was when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
Go figure, four-year-old getting a premonition. So now I am, it's either January, late January or February, and I'm heading east towards Lake Michigan in downtown Chicago. And going west are five boys from Mundelein High School. And this is in the 1960s. I didn't speak one word to either one of them. However, I had premonitions and different things involved in that. And then I'm going to send this one out. Officer Legenza was standing next to, at Christoph's bowling alley, one of those five boys from Mundelein High School who were probably heading to the train station. I thought maybe Northwestern Ogilvy, but actually it was Union. But they must have been to the theater on State Street and were returning back in the other direction. So this guy next to him, his socks were glowing white. And I said to the person I was talking to at the bowling alley, Christoph's, that guy's socks are glowing white. And I didn't know what to figure it out to be. But for Officer Legenza, a former, who was standing next to him, his birth date in December, the guy with the glowing socks,
mm-hmm.
is the same month a juxtaposition for George Armstrong Custer's birth date. So the song is Soldier Boy. And thanks to all the military people for their service.
Now, interestingly, there are several songs with that title. So which
song? And there's a doo-wop, isn't there?
Well, there's certainly a soul song, Soldier Boy, that the Shirelles had a very big hit with. But I think you want the mid-50s pop standard. And I'll be happy to play that.
I'm good. I'm glad because I love picking something that you like.
Yeah, no, I actually do it. It actually came on KJ the other day, and John said to me, "You like that song?" Yeah, absolutely. I like it. So it surprised him. So,
well, your selections are worldwide, and I sometimes wonder if, and I, you know, things like this, I can come real close to putting two and two together. But I'm not always really for sure on certain times. I think that you and Delilah, I wouldn't be surprised if you came back as Ann Landers and Dear Abby Duran,
oh,
Ann Landers.
God help,
because
God help us.
Your knowledge at answering things, and they were so phenomenal. I could not comprehend how they could be so credible in their answer. Where do you people come up with this? This is amazing. It's like, how could you possibly solve all these problems and become an iconic journalist through an advice column? You know, I mean, they should have given them or her, Ann Landers, the Nobel Peace Prize for what she did in her career as a journalist advice writer.
There you are.
So
there you are.
I think about you in your future life.
Oh God.
As either Dear Abby or Ann Landers.
Oh gosh.
And that's pretty profound.
What
to
is?
Think that you're gonna do something so significantly important the next time as you're doing as we speak.
Well, aren't you nice? All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
And so is all of your callers.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
All right, so, I just hope for a long rest between lives myself. That's what I'm looking forward to. But, you know, I think all of us have the opportunity to make a difference for somebody, and it doesn't have to be on the radio, and it doesn't have to be in a newspaper, just day to day. makes all the difference in the world. By the way, as you might know, Christmas is a week from today. And if you still haven't done all your shopping, is that you? Well, the Sea Crane Company has three-day shipping for just $19.95 on the CC Radio 2E. That's right. If you order this, say, tomorrow or tonight or whenever, you'll get it in time for Christmas, and boy, will you make somebody happy. The CC Radio 2E is just better. Of course, like everything that Bob Crane has developed, better means you will have much better reception. And, you know, I always say the big challenge here is just take a standard radio, AM and FM, and put it next to the CC2E and tune to some weak station that you're barely picking up. Then tune the 2E to that station, and it's going to sound like it's right in the room with you. It's that good. And, of course, that was Bob Crane's gripe years ago, was that the reception of radios made more recently was just terrible, almost like an afterthought. Well, the radios that Bob Crane develops all have terrific reception, AM and FM, but many of them, if not all of them, have other features too that just makes it neat. And one of the things about the CC Radio 2E is how good it sounds. Really nice audio. And you can adjust it however you want it. You can, from making it sound like I'm right next to you in the room, to terrific bass or treble. It's all there. It also has a weather alert and the weather band, obviously, so you can use it as an emergency radio. It's got a clock, and it's got a nice dial light and some presets, and you can fine-tune, but you also can just use those presets and, with the convenience of one-touch buttons, get to whatever you want to hear. And right now, actually, it's not just the CC Radio 2E. It's anything in the Sea Crane catalog where the order totals $50 or more. There are so many things. You know, like I keep saying, lately I got those pillow speakers. I got them for every location I have. I just love them. So there's a lot of things like that that are neat as well. But if you haven't done all your stocking stuffing and you haven't done all your gift giving, $19.95 for three-day shipping right now at this time of year, that's a gift in and of itself. Go to ccradio.com. Anytime, ccradio.com, and you can look at the CC Radio 2E and everything else, and you can order right online. If you can't go online, that's okay. They're there for you. Best customer service in the world, and that is 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. So whether you call them or whether you visit the website, I think it's going to solve all of your gift giving, but may create a little dilemma in that you're going to find something you just have to have yourself. That's right. All right, so check it out, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
We've been friends for
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who is that? That's a gift. That's a big hit. Everybody should know that. And maybe know the theme. I don't know. It looks like a couple people are guessing the same thing, and the first one in was Lane in Oak Forest. So our bumper stumper theme is?
Songs that the Beatles covered.
Well, yes, that's half of the theme. Now, what about the songs? And I'm going to give it to you for that, but what about the songs?
Oh, no, that I don't know.
Well, then, okay. We'll leave that for Barry, who was also guessing. But you are a winner, so hang on, Elaine. Don't go away.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So Elaine knows. Yes, they are all Beatle covers, but we need you to be a little more specific than that, and I think Barry in New Hampshire can do it. All right, Barry, so what do you think?
They all played at the Cavern. The Beatles played at those songs and covered them at the Cavern.
I like that, but no. Something about the songs, not about the Beatles.
Okay, Richard Barrett did some other guy.
Yes, so. He did, and you win for that alone. But the deal is they're all covers of R&B songs. I did not pick any of them that were just pop. So, in any event, but you know you're Richie Barrett, so you win for that.
Perfect.
So hang on, don't go away. By the way, why did you know that song? I mean, some other guy is about as obscure as it gets.
Oh, because when they show, when the Beatles were playing at the Cavern, they always show a clip of them playing that song.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So you didn't know it from Richie Barrett, who, of course, in his own right, was just major league New York doo-wop and vocal group harmony. And, the Chantels wouldn't have been anywhere if it weren't for Richie Barrett. So you didn't know any of that. You just knew that the Beatles covered them. All right, well, it just paid off for you.
And I think that it was on Atlantic Records.
Yes, it was. 1962. It absolutely was on Atlantic. Okay. And it did absolutely nothing. You know, a lot of these things, I wonder, how the hell did they ever hear that? And of course, when it comes to these, you know, a lot of times it's they saw another local band performing it. Oh, and in fact, the Beatles were infamous for that. But what I want to know, okay, let's go to the other group who did it first. How did they hear these songs?
You know? Because because Liverpool was a seaport, and they used to, the sailors used to bring records over from America.
Which is great, but I love that story, except it really makes you wonder about a few that I'm going to play tonight. Who brought that? But all right, good deal. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So we have 2 more hours of trivia. We're going to talk to Cleveland Dennis, who heard another bumper he knows, and there'll be room for you, and we'll go over our straggler question again and more right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. All right, so we've determined that all the bumper stumpers are covers by the Beatles of R&B records. I'm not going to say hits because most of them weren't here in the States. And Leave My Kitten Alone, who was the original artist? And it was interestingly, as far as with the Beatles' involvement, that they recorded that in 1964, in the summer of 64, for their fourth album, Beatles for Sale. But it wasn't on it. It wasn't until they came out with CDs, and they were trying to find anything, right, unearthing the vaults, that it was released in 1995 on Anthology 1. But who was it originally? And yes, well-known artist, as far as I'm concerned. All right, so with that in mind, let's see. We have several people guessing on several things, so we'll take one on each of them. Cleveland Dennis, you heard something you knew.
Well, I knew Shot of Rhythm and Blues by Arthur Alexander.
And just stay at that. Don't tell me about what else you knew, because I know you knew the other one as well.
Yeah.
So we're leaving that for somebody else.
That'll be fine, but I would like to mention this. One of your previous callers are talking about General Custer. My younger brother's middle name, my dad named him John B., middle name Custer.
Uh-huh.
general customer.
Uh-huh.
But it was interesting. And just want to mention that the cavern was mentioned tonight. I saw the storefront where the cavern was, because they moved her over to the dock, included at the Beatles Museum.
Uh-huh.
And if I could talk about more, I'll call back, but I...
Well, hang on. We'll add to your stash. Don't go away. All right. So that's the deal. Yes. Arthur Alexander, A Shot of Rhythm and Blues, which for some reason was an all-time fave of all the British invasion bands, many of whom didn't even make it to being heard here, like the Liverpool Five, you don't want to know. But nonetheless, that seemed to be a big fave. And of course, it was an Arthur Alexander flip side. All right. So Karen heard something she knows. So what'd you hear, Karen?
Yes, it's the song, Take Your Hands Off My Baby.
Keep Your Hands.
Little Eva.
Yes, absolutely. Keep Your Hands Off My Baby.
Keep Your Hands Off.
Absolutely right. Little Eva it was, and hard to believe that the Beatles covered that, but they did. So
I think I heard that once.
Yeah, that's the concept altogether is painful to me, but... But I don't know why not. Again, I guess it. I guess maybe it is because it was a seaport that people were bringing them in from afar. I still can't imagine on a few of them how the hell they figured it out, because most people in America didn't. But yeah, that was that. Of course, Keep Your Hands Off My Baby was the follow-up to The Locomotion.
Oh, yes, I remember. That's most what she's remembered for.
Yeah, right. And
the Locomotion.
Exactly. And being Carol King's maid. But in any event, the deal was that John Lennon actually publicly said in an interview that his goal, along with Paul McCartney, was to be the Goffin King of England. And so they recorded a number of Goffin King songs like Chains. And there you have it. So you are a winner. Hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right. Absolutely. It is Little Eva, but and I have a feeling that, let me put this on hold here, I can do that, that Fran and Austin want to say the same thing, but I know you're going to know one in the future. So Fran, all right, Fran, I thought I went to Fran, maybe I didn't. All right, we'll try it again. I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, I did. All right, well... we'll have more Bumper Stumpers coming up, and we have our question. And at the end of the night, in the next hour, I will reveal the answer. And I think you are going to be so surprised that you didn't think of this. Because I'm so surprised, because I've had this question for over a year, and I thought, I'm not going to ask that. It's just too easy. Yet it seems to be everyone's missing it. But maybe you will pick up on it. Most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created an entire career based on it. Who and what? We've determined it has nothing to do with a movie or pizza or mobsters. So that's where we are on that. But yeah, so someone managed to create a career on The Godfather that's nothing to do with movies, mobsters, or any of that. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. I assume we're not going to have quite as many calls tonight because, of course, I am an idiot. That's the official reason. I told you that there was only going to be a very brief show tonight, and it turns out I was wrong. Not a first time, that's for sure. But nonetheless, it is the full 3 hours, and we're in smack dab in hour two. And so by all means, this is your chance. And if you don't know my bumpers, and you don't know the answer to my trivia question, well, the best news of all is you can have your own category, and it can be absolutely anything. Everybody knows something about something, so tell me what you know about. Yes, and this, of course, December 18th, the birthday of the late Nicky Wine, the original writer of American Top 40. And also the history of rock and roll. Yeah. And I worked with Nikki and thought the world of her. But anyway, she's been gone quite a while now. But also, she shared a birthday with Edward Armstrong. Yeah. You remember Edward. 1890 in Manhattan, died, born, and, you know, on December 18th, but died 133 years ago, February 1st, 1954. He leapt to his death. And he was the father of FM in many ways. But while it's probably true that he was very despondent about the lack of adaptation of FM, it clearly was a work in progress. and there were things that needed to happen to what Armstrong had invented to make it viable. And ultimately they were, but not in time to save him. So that was the deal. But he would have been 133 years old today. All right, we're going to do song lyrics with Fran. Well, I love that. That's coming up. And yeah, like I say, if you've got a question, well, I probably got an answer. If you've got a category, I've got a question. And I'll bet you that you will have an answer because they're relatively easy. And you'll find that out for sure when we do lyrics coming up in moments with Fran and Austin, 1963 lyrics, too. Oh, this will be fun. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
The corner in a beat-up car, dividing up a nickel candy bar, talking all about how sharp they are, these three cool cats, three cool chicks, three cool chicks. Walking down the street, a swinging their hips, splitting up a bag of potato chips.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who are they? Yeah, we know the Beatles covered them because they covered everything we're playing tonight. But who are they? Yeah, fine song. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And Kathy in Indiana has a bumper guess. All right, Kathy, what'd you hear you know?
Terrific bumpers tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, Little Willie John.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Little Willie John, one of the really great performers who never got his due. 1959 on King. You are a winner.
It was a great song. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, he died in prison. But other than that, he had a hell of a career. And of course, his sister Mabel John was interesting too on a lot of things. But you are a winner. Hang on, don't go away.
Thank you.
So very good, Little Willie John. Yes, and so many wonderful things. The original Talk to Me, right? And I would still argue the original is the greatest, but there's heavy dissent on that with Talk to Me, but also of course All Around the World. When Little Milton covered it, he called it Grits Ain't Groceries, but the original title was All Around the World. All right, Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Yeah, I hung up before because somebody had gotten a little leave, and then I thought, wait a minute, I can still do lyrics.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can. And all right, I picked a song, and most of the lyrics in it would give it away right away. But I found a couple that maybe won't. So we'll see how you do. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some of the guys. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's all right.
Oh, I know that.
Yes, you do.
Oh.
Every other lyric in this song gives it away.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't give me any hints, obviously.
Yeah, because every one of them will give it away.
Okay, give me that one more time.
I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some of the guys. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's right.
man, I'm going to kick myself because I...
Yes,
right
you do.
Right on the tip of my brain.
Yes, you do. You know this song. Well, I'll give you the line right before it, which will probably give it away, but it's less likely than most of them in this. Well, it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye.
No, I'm blanking.
Oh, man, 6 days on the road, and I'm going to make it home tonight.
Oh, of course. Okay.
Yeah,
better luck next week.
No, that's good, though. But like I say, I looked at every line in this, and every other one of them was like, nah, it's a dead giveaway. So that
yeah,
was a,
you think I'm happy, you're right. You
yeah,
know, or anything
yeah
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
And
but,
I got one more.
What?
I got one more guilty pleasure before
Ooh,
I go.
Good, 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 good. What you got?
Mersey Oats.
Oh, all right. Well, you know what? now, let me admit, because this is really weird. I like it by the Innocents.
I do too.
What's wrong with us? I know.
I don't know.
On Kama Sutra.
I love that. Is that little kind of instrumentation. I just love it.
I do. That's Anders and Poncia, who were the Innocents, and you know, didn't write it, obviously, because that's the Mary Max from the 40s, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember it from back then, because I used to sing it when I was a little
right,
girl.
Right, exactly, but you know, those 40 versions, as I say, don't hold a candle to the Innocents.
No, they don't. I love it.
All right, good deal. I love it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay,
all
bye.
Right, so, yeah, this was just one of those, I know. Right, there goes all of our credibility, but I liked it too. Now, what's really embarrassing is I like the other Innocence record, too. And by the way, Innocence was C-E, I-N-N-O-C-E-N-C-E, and it was Anders and Poncia. But, yeah, the other one that I shouldn't admit I like, but I bet you Fran likes it, too.
There's got to be a word that means more than love, but I can't seem to find it. There's got to be a word that says more than love, 'cause now I'm stuck behind it. If Mr. Webster gave it more thought, I'm sure that he would have had for this feeling I have another word beyond the meaning of love.
Okay. What can I tell you? They're from Providence, and they actually were the Vidals, which was another, I know, should I admit that I like the Vidals? Yeah, Mr. Lonely. It was a, well, maybe a little higher quality record. I don't know. I'll leave it to you to decide. But I thought Mr. Lonely was a great little New York doo-wop record. And no, it's not the same as the Bobby Vinton record, God knows. I probably could come up with a Bobby Vinton record I like too, but fortunately at the moment it's got me, it's eluding me. But yeah, Mr. Lonely by the Vidals was pretty good. All right, so we'll just get off the subject. But like I said, if I'm willing to admit this stuff, certainly you've got guilty pleasures, those records that you absolutely adore, but are embarrassed to say you even like them. Yeah. All right, and we've got more bumper stumpers coming up too. And as far as that goes, but our straggler, I'm hoping that we will get a winner here before, well, next hour, at the end of the hour, I'll reveal it. But most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created an entire career based on it. Who and what? And we've determined that he's not a mobster, he's not Italian, he's not a movie guy, all right, and he doesn't make pizza. All right, so we've ruled those out. So what are we left with? Well, I don't know. Johnny D wants another guess at it. So Johnny D, is actually talking to John at the moment, so we'll allow him to do that for a moment, and I will clear Fran's line, and we'll find out what you think. Actually, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large, because we'll hear everything and tell more on WGN Radio.
Mr. Moonlight. You came to me one summer night, and from your dream you made my dream, and from the world you sent my girl, and from above you brought us love, and now Mr. Moonlight, Mr. Moonlight, come again, please. Here I am on my knees, begging you to please. And the night you don't come my way, I pray and pray for the day, because we love you. Mr. Moonlight.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who was that? We know that the Beatles covered it. Yeah. For reasons that I'll never understand myself, but there you have it. So, all the bumpers are Beatles covers. We've determined that. But who are these artists? Some of them are very familiar, some of them not so familiar. But yeah, this guy or this group, depending on how you like to think of him, absolutely had hits. This clearly wasn't one of them. All right, so most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created a career based on it, entirely based on it. Who and what? All right, 888-876-5593. And when you hear the bumpers that you know, call, like David and LaSalle. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. We did a song a little bit ago, a bumper. Three Cool Chicks, I believe, is the name of the song. Is that right? Did I get the name?
It's actually Three Cool Cats, but that's okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you a group. If it's not them, it sure sounds like them and the type of song they do, and I'll say it's the Coasters.
Absolutely, it's the Coasters. And that's a Lieber and Stoller record. You betcha it is. So you're a winner.
Oh, thanks a lot.
All right, hang on. Don't go away. All right, and like I say, don't get excited about the prizes, which will take forever to reach you and not be worth it when they do. But the certificates are kind of fun, I will say that. So Johnny D is calling again. What did you hear, you know?
I didn't hear nothing I knew. I'm calling about the Godfather question.
Oh, all right, all right. So most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created an entire career based on it. Who is he?
Well, I thought about it a little bit more, Raleigh, and for some reason, it popped into my head. It kind of connected. There's a connection, I think. James Brown used to go by
The Godfather of Soul. That's a great. Yeah, this is not right, but that's a very clever answer. I love that.
Yeah, me too. That's why I called back. That was right.
Yeah, no, it's not right.
All right, well, anyhow, listen. And then Fran, when she was talking about her guilty pleasure, it kicked in my head because the song I was talking last week, the song that lovely and talented Becky gave me,
yes,
the Carpenter song,
yes,
was We've Only Just Begun.
Oh, God. All right.
That's the one she likes.
And, all right. Well, it was an ad for Crocker Bank in San Francisco.
I don't know nothing about that.
No, that's what it was. It was a jingle. It was an ad for Crocker Bank, and they morphed it out into a song.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Wow. You mean the Carpenters took a jingle and made it
Well,
to
the Carpenters didn't, but the group that the guys that wrote the jingle did. Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's wonderful.
You can probably go to YouTube. I would think that there's probably a Crocker Bank commercial. You can actually look at it because these were on for a few years.
Well, it's not the Godfather of Soul, huh?
No, it is not the Godfather of Soul.
You know, come on. I'm thinking that's got to be James Brown because he took that and he ran with it, you know.
Yeah, no.
James. All right, I'm sorry. I mean, I was trying to vindicate myself from missing the Oreopithecus question.
Well, that's all right. You'll probably hear something else you know.
I don't know none of them bumpers, Raleigh. Yeah. I'm only 71 years old. I'll be 72.
We will add We've Only Just Begun. Paul Williams wrote the lyrics, actually, not the music. But
Becky said she liked it because they play it at weddings all the time.
Well, they do. It is. Well, I'll tell you, the guy who did the singing was Smokey Robards, and he did it under the name Freddie Allen, and it was a wedding-themed television commercial for Crocker National Bank. And this would have been this would have been winter of 1970, and the advertising agency was Hal Reiney. Of San Francisco Advertising Agency. And what they were trying to do, I loved Crocker Bank. I thought they were a great bank. But, of course, younger people were going away from them and all that. And so they wanted to have something that would attract younger people. And so so you can show Becky the footage because I'm sure the commercials are online. And she'll see how right she is because the song played over a couple getting married and just starting out.
I'll look for it, Rami. I'll look for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so obviously direct reference to the bank was left out, but the commercial became a big success. And, supposedly some people came to the bank, but the bank really screwed up because these were young people coming to the bank who would open accounts. They weren't people who were going to, have collateral for loans or, mortgages. And so ultimately they gave up on the commercial because it was attracting customers. But if they thought about it, not the ones they wanted.
Yeah, when you're talking about that, and I won't take up too much time, but Bank of America.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Now, didn't that in San Francisco, but it was some Italian bank before?
Bank of America, the original started out, the name of it was going to be Bank of Italia.
Yeah.
And absolutely. And so that was...
And then they had the earthquake.
Well, no, 1906, yeah. But it was... Bank of Italy was before the earthquake. Giannini was the guy who had started that. And then what happened after that was Bank of America was put together in Los Angeles, and Giannini, who had Bank of Italy, was a minority investor. So it was Bank of Italy originally, but when it became a big deal, they changed it to Bank of America.
Okay, I remember watching something about
and they were the big deal, no doubt about it, and they were the bank. Talk about making a blunder. They were the bank who started Bank AmeriCard, which would later be a Visa, right? And except they didn't understand. They mailed them free to all of the depositors. Every one of us got Bank of America cards, right? Well, there was
I didn't get one.
Well, you didn't have an account there. But so I'm originally an Angeleno, and so when I was born, my family started a Bank of America account. Well, okay, so here comes this Bank AmeriCard. Well, because they didn't make a sign for the cards, we were not liable to pay them back.
And so, I'd have loaded that card up or whatever.
Well, some people did, and then the courts ruled that they did not have to pay them back.
They got a lucky break.
Well, they did. And so what happened there, of course, was now, even when you get these pre-approved offers, you always have to sign. Well, that's why you have to sign, because Bank of America mailed the cards to all of us. So, they were innovative from day one.
Well, you got to be innovative these days. Business.
Bank of America had the same charter number as when Giannini started it as Bank of Italy. Now, I don't know if it does now, because, of course, Bank of America doesn't exist in the same form anymore. What Bank of America is today is what was originally North Carolina National Bank, NCNAB, as we used to call it. And then that became Nations Bank, and then ultimately they took over Bank of America. So it's not the same bank today.
Well, I don't know, Roy. You know more about finance and banks than I'll ever know.
Well,
but,
you know, I mean, you kind of, if you grew up in California, you grew up with Crocker and Bank of America. Those were the two big ones. And Crocker merged with Wells Fargo in 1986. I cried. But anyway,
Wells Fargo, come on, that's big, ain't it?
Well, yes, it's very, very big. And but Crocker had been around since 1870. The guy who started that, his name was Crocker, obviously. He was a railroad baron, one of those. So,
Well, they're related to Betty Crocker.
But no, there is no Betty Crocker. But
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right, Raleigh. Thank you. Get into the trivia. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for calling. Well, that's about as trivia as it gets, I'll tell you what. And then, of course, with the SNL scandals and all that, everything fell apart. But yeah, most of the things you see today is named something like if it's a Bank of America. That's North Carolina National Bank. Well, same thing. Same with AT&T. You see AT&T? Sorry, that's Southwestern Bell. And so it is that, well, with retail, people are always buying names. And, you know, you think you're getting the same same quality or same merchandise that you were before. Au contraire. All right, so 888-876-5593. We have a Monday Night Trivia, and this is as trivial as it gets. All right, another bumper stumper coming up. A fine one, I'll tell you. But another one where I remember saying at the time, now, how the hell would they have heard that there? All right, you'll see what I mean in minutes on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Monday Night Trivia. It's not going to get any more trivial than this, I'll tell you what. So there's our bumper stumper. Yeah, of course the Beatles covered it, but who was that originally? Yeah, and how the heck did they ever find it? All right, and of course our question, most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created an entire career based on it. Who and what? Has nothing to do with pizza, movies, Italian people, or mobsters. All right, so yeah, we've ruled all those out. Chuck emailed and said, well, if Bank of America came up with Bank AmeriCard, who came up with MasterCard? It wasn't MasterCard. It was MasterCharge, and MasterCharge was UCB, United California Bank. And believe me, when they're almost right at the same time. When Bank of America was mailing out those cards, UCB was mailing out those master charges too. So they got bit by the same thing. But ultimately, B of A spun off Bank AmeriCard, and that's when they became Visa. And UCB did the same thing. They spun off MasterCharge, which became MasterCard International. All right, so that's the deal on that. Let's not review First Bank, First Interstate Bank Corp. All right, which is back, completely unrelated to the first time around. All right, so with all that and useless information, well, that's why it's Monday Night Trivia. All right, now, where we were doing something close to nothing. I believe Laura in Willowbrook has some guesses. All right, Laura. No? There you are.
I didn't listen to what you just said a second ago, but I think I have a good idea what the answer to the trivia is for you. You mentioned the Godfather movies inspired someone, and I think you said a while back that they became a franchise or something like that.
No, 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 not a franchise at all.
Okay. Well, I just thought Godfather, that inspired somebody that wanted to be a really tough guy, like somebody in the Godfather. So I'm thinking, got to be Clint Eastwood.
No. Believe me, Clint Eastwood did not build his career on anybody but Clint Eastwood.
Okay. I have two more guesses. How about Charles Bronson?
Nope.
No, really? No.
I should back up and say it has nothing to do with movies, and it has nothing to do with actors.
Oh.
So we've ruled out actors. We've ruled out movies. We've ruled out pizzas. We've ruled out mobsters, and we've ruled out Italians.
Okay. Well, I guess I had one more thing.
All right.
Not related to that. but yeah, you got me stumped. I can't wait to hear.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure somebody will get it. I hope.
I hope so, but I'll reveal it if they don't. And again, I know that everyone collectively is gonna just kick themselves when they hear it. All right, thanks
okay,
for calling.
Thanks, Rally.
Appreciate it. Yeah, because you know, you just don't realize you know, but you absolutely know. Yeah. I should also tell you that Giannini, the guy who had started Bank of Italy, who was then a minority in Bank of America, well, there'll be no pity party for him. He started Transamerica. All right, so, yeah, I kid you not. Of course, that had to be somewhat restricted after the Bank Holding Act, but for the most part, no pity party, that is for absolute sure. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And I believe we're going to do World War II trivia, don't you know? I had come up with this great question last week, and now, of course, I've completely lost it. But hello, James. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I can't complain. Nobody would listen.
I was going to take a few shots at that straggler.
Oh, good.
Okay, Steve Jobs.
Nope.
Gates?
Nope.
Henry Kissinger?
No. That's hilarious.
Donald Trump?
No.
Okay. Jimmy Buffett?
No.
Okay. You've
covered the landscape now. If we've included Donald Trump and Jimmy Buffett and everybody else on that list, no.
Okay, let's get to the question.
We're gonna do military nicknames. I know you'll be thrilled with that. And so let's see what we can do that will be interesting to you on that front. Because we did that last week, and you knew all about Kesserling. So General Holland M. Smith of the Marine Corps was a pioneer of amphibious warfare. His men knew him as...
I'm going to say... Oh, goodness. I'm going to say... I was going to say old sea dogs. No.
And he initially led the Marine Corps operations in the Central Pacific, and it was his name and his temper that suggested the nickname, and it distinguished him from other generals. So as far as that goes, because you know his last name was Smith. That's they got him all over the place, Julian Smith, or
right. Yeah. So his temper.
Right. Well, yeah, his temper was certainly part of this, yes.
Okay.
And his name?
I'm going to say, oh, goodness. I'm trying to think of that. Okay. It's not volcano.
Mm-mm.
It's not tsunami.
Mm-mm. It's two words, by the way.
Okay. Oh boy, and I'm drawing a blank on him because I can remember this other Marine general who had a great name, but I can't quite put this guy's name quite center it.
Well, let me put it this way: with a name like this, he should have been a blues singer.
Okay. Smoke Daddy?
All right. General Holland Smith was known to the people who worked for him as Howlin' Mad. Howlin' Mad.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yep. All right. I figured I had to put you out of your misery. You were just not going to get that. Howlin' Mad, and his son after the war became Rear Admiral John Smith. So, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, that was like, okay, when you think about it, he had to come up with, there were some colorful names.
Oh, absolutely, okay. Yes, and we'll talk about that next time. We're going to do the news right now. Thanks for calling. All right, so we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
You just walk. Oh, you walk. Yes, you walk. Yeah, you walk. And that's the walk. Well, I know you heard off the Texas hop. I know you heard off the old fox trot. But when you do the walk, you ride in style. You just shake. Close your eyes and then you walk. Yeah, you walk. And then you walk. Oh, you walk. Oh, you walk. Yes, you walk.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So, who was that? That's a gift. 1958 on Checker, overmodulated though it was. All right, so we have our bumper stumpers. They're all records that the Beatles covered, R&B records that the Beatles covered, yes. And some of them very nice. And so far, I'm looking at this. You've knocked off all but, the one we just played and the two before it, but everything else, you've gotten them. So Tommy in Chicago's going to get one right now. I think I know which one, too, but we'll see. So Tommy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm grooving with you.
All right. I'll take it.
Great stuff. You just played The Walk by Jimmy McCracken.
Yes, I did. You're absolutely
it
right.
It was really big in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. It was on Checker, yeah. It was a great record, except it was overmodulated. But other than that, it was perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Great show, all those bumpers.
Well,
and I never knew the Beatles covered The Walk.
I know. And let me give you the history on that, because this was so weird. I printed out the history on each one of these because I thought no one will believe it. Let's see what the deal was with The Walk. Let's see. Here we are. They did a lot of things that I never would have expected. But let's see. Where are we? The Walk. Come on, The Walk. I've got Soldier of Love.
I'm a big Beatles fan.
Yeah. So, let's see. The Walk. January 1969 at Twickenham Film Studios and their own Apple Studios in the basement of their headquarters at 3 Seville Road. During the sessions, they regularly jam songs by their rock and roll heroes and most obscure favorites, and they routinely played The Walk.
Okay.
So I don't know that
they... listen up to that one.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever released it on anything, you know. A lot of this stuff never would have been released if it weren't for when they were making CDs, trying to come up with things that hadn't been put out. So it might be, but it certainly wasn't put out when they were first doing it.
Yeah, I was expecting you to say it's on Parlophone or something.
Yeah, no, no. Well, and a lot of these were because they were on BBC television, but they were simulcasted where they recorded them for albums as well.
Okay. So, history.
Yeah, and some of them were their audition tapes. You know, that Three Cool Cats, which I think is such a good record. Three Cool Cats was on their audition tape for Decca Records, and Decca passed.
Yeah, and of course just did it.
Yes, they did. Oh, man, that harmony, I guarantee you the Beatles didn't equal that harmony. All right. Well, you are a winner,
yeah,
as always. Don't go away. All right, so
okay.
Absolutely. And they covered a lot of Elvis stuff, too. You're not hearing any of that tonight. Yeah, that's right. I like you too much for that. All right, so we got more guesses, do we? Marlene in Lombard. What do you think, Marlene?
Yes. So does it have to do with maybe a jockey because of a horse head that was...
Oh, that's
in
interesting.
Bed with-
That's interesting. No, no jockeys made their living, as far as I know, from The Godfather.
Oh, okay. So it had nothing to do with the horse's head?
No, nothing. But that's creative. That's a creative answer, though. I like it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for trying. Call me again.
Okay.
Good deal. So, yeah. No horses. So we've ruled out pizza, and we've ruled out horses, and we've ruled out actors and Italians and mobsters. All right. So... that pretty much is it. All right, so we have more guesses from, let's see, James on the South Side, half a dozen guesses. All right, guess one.
Okay, Bill Clinton.
Two.
Okay, Jeffrey Epstein.
Three.
I know that. I'm laughing about that one.
Well, yeah, exactly. But no,
Joe Biden?
No. This would be a connection that the individual was proud of making, not that he just acted like the Godfather.
I know. And I'm,
right. Okay. Keep going.
Okay. I'm going to say... when you said that, I dropped one of my answers. I was going to okay, and I'm hesitant about this one because this guy had several fields he went into.
All right.
But I'll throw them out there anyway. Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Okay. Let's see. You made me drop a couple of them, so I have to call back.
Okay, I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
So good deal. And by the way, it was an overnight transformation for this guy. All right, it was a guy. We'll say that. We'll narrow it down. It's male. And, built his entire career around this. And... literally, it was happening overnight. It never, he figured, well, and boy, the rest was history. So that's all the hints I'm going to give you on that. We do have three more bumpers, and they're all by well-known individuals. So by all means, you'll have plenty of chances to win. But again, the prizes are not why you're doing it. You're doing it for the fun of it, and I'm grateful for that. So this is the last week, as you know, to vote on your guilty pleasures, because Christmas night, it's a full live show, Monday night, Christmas from 3 hours, from 10 to 1, And we'll be playing back your guilty pleasures. And we'll be joined by Steve Bryant, who always has terrific stories. And let's face it, when you're a host of a premier host of QVC for 15 years, you got stories. Well, he's got some good ones. So we'll do that as well. Now, tomorrow there will be a little delay, an hour, actually. We'll be on right after the Blackhawks hockey, so 11 p.m. Central. And then no more sports interruptions until after Christmas. We have one on Wednesday the 27th, and then nothing until after New Year's. It'll be a live New Year's show as well, because, you know, that's the whole spirit of the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club. One of the worst things about the holidays is having your routine interrupted because somebody takes off. We don't do that. I'll be right here talking to you for better or worse, and you'll be more than welcome to call, which I hope you will. So that's the deal here. I haven't played my Christmas record this year. You know, I vow not to play all the ones you hear on these other stations, but every year I do manage to play Gee Whiz, It's Christmas by Carla Thomas, at least a few times, because I like it, and, you know, it just doesn't work when you play it in June. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. I also have, I don't know if I should save this tomorrow night, but the 12 Days of Christmas and the letters related to this. Poor Agnes Holstein, of Beaver Valley, Colorado. Right. First letter was December 14th. Dearest John, I went to the door today and the postman delivered a partridge in a pear tree. What a thoroughly delightful gift. I couldn't have been more pleased. Deepest love and devotion, Aggie. All right, on December 15th, dearest John, today the postman brought your very sweet gift. Just imagine, two turtle doves. I'm so delighted at your very thoughtful gift. They're just adorable. All my love, Aggie. And on December 16th, dear John, oh, aren't you the extravagant one? Now I really must protest. I don't deserve such generosity. Three French hens. They're just darling, but I must insist you've been too kind. Love, Agnes. December 17, from Miss Agnes Holstein. Dear John, today the postman delivered four calling birds. Now, really, they are beautiful, but don't you think enough is enough? You're being a little too romantic. Affectionately, Agnes. December 18th. Dearest John, what a surprise. Today the postman delivered five golden rings, one for every finger. You're just impossible, but I love it. Frankly, all those birds squawking were beginning to get on my nerves. All my love, Aggie. And then we have December 19th. Dear John, today when I opened the door, I found six geese a-laying right on my front steps. So you're back to the birds again, huh? Those geese are huge. Where will I ever keep them? The neighbors are complaining, and I can't sleep through all the racket. Please stop. Cordially, Agnes. December 20th. John, what's with you and those birds? Seven swans a-swimming? What kind of joke is this? There's bird poop all over the house, and they never shut up. I can't sleep at night, and I'm a nervous wreck. It's not so funny, so stop with the birds. Sincerely, Agnes Holstein. December 21st. Okay, Buster, I think I prefer the birds. What am I going to do with eight maids a-milking? The living room's not big enough for them, and they had to bring their damn cows. There's poop on the lawn, which is half-eaten, and I just can't move in my own house. Lay off, smartass. Agnes. December 22nd. Hey, meathead. What the hell are you? Some kind of sadist? Now there's nine pipers playing, and boy, do they play. They haven't stopped chasing those maids since they got here yesterday morning. The cows haven't been milked, and they're getting upset and stepping all over the screeching birds, and the neighbors are petitioning to evict me. What am I supposed to do? You'll get yours, Agnes Holstein. December 23rd. You rotten SOB. Now there's 10 ladies dancing. I don't know why I call these sluts ladies. They've been with the pipers all night. Now the cows can't sleep and they've got diarrhea. Everything is a river. The Commissioner of Buildings has subpoenaed me to show cause why my house shouldn't be condemned. I'm sicking the authorities on you, buddy. One who means it, Agnes Holstein. December 24th. Listen, meathead, what's with the 11 lords a-leaping? They keep leaping on those maids and ladies. Some of these broads will never walk again. Those pipers ran through the maids and have been committing sodomy with the cows. All 23 of the birds are dead, trampled to death in the orgy. I hope you're satisfied, you rotten, vicious so-and-so, your sworn enemy, Miss Holstein. And then Christmas Day. Dear sir, this is to acknowledge your latest gift of 12 fiddlers fiddling, which you have seen fit to inflict on our client, Miss Agnes Holstein. The destruction, of course, was total. All correspondence should come to our attention. If you should attempt to reach Miss Holstein at the Happydale Sanitarium, the attendants have instructions to shoot you on sight. With this letter, please find the attached warrant for your arrest. Very truly yours, Herman Bender of Badger, Bender, and Wynn. So there you have the 12 days of Christmas. Don't try this at home. All right, now we've got a first-time caller, Linville, Illinois. It's Stephen. Welcome to WGN Radio. Hello, yeah. Stephen. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Good. What do you think?
Godfather's Pizza.
Nope. Nope, that was one of the first guesses. We've ruled out pizza.
Okay.
But thanks for trying and do it again. I appreciate it. All right. So, yes, and Godfather's threw a lot of infamous people. But the first guy was a guy in Omaha in Nebraska, and he, after a few years, divested. But no, it has nothing to do with pizza, nothing to do with actors, nothing to do with movies, nothing to do with Italians, nothing to do with mobsters. All right, so that leaves a lot of ground, believe me. And when you hear it, you're going to say, how could I not guess this? All right, well, maybe you've been cloistered. I don't know. David on the North Side, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I think you just eliminated my guess. I thought it was John Gotti.
Oh, that's great. No, it's not Italians and not mobsters.
That's a good one these couple of weeks. That's a good trivia question.
Well, we'll see what you think when you hear the answer. Thanks.
All right, appreciate I'm listening.
All right,
take
good
care.
Deal. Yeah, and as I say, the best part is you don't know where I am. All right, because I would expect projectiles in my direction after all that. So Gwen in Chicago wants to guess, I do believe. I think, but Gwen may be talking to John. I think so. James called back. Oh, as I would expect. All right, James. Let's hear every one of these six.
Okay. John Williams. Next. I'm talking the conductor.
No.
Not the guy.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Neither one. Next.
Okay, Johnny Cash.
Next.
Okay, I'm going to say Charles O. Finley.
Next.
Okay, I'm going to say George Steinbrenner.
Next.
Okay. Okay, you notice I'm going all over the field.
Yeah, that's
now.
Fine. That's good.
Okay, I'm going to go with, I was going to go with, Hank Williams Jr.
Next, you got one more on this call.
Okay, I'm going to go with I'm going to say a woman this time. Reba McEntire?
I love it. No. All right.
Okay, I'll call back with some more.
I'm counting on it. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And let's see. So when I say it's not an actor, I shouldn't rule that out entirely. But not his principal occupation, we'll say that. And with that in mind, we know it's not a restaurateur. There's no pizza involved. It's not a mobster. It's not an Italian. I had to look the guy up to see, is it an Italian? No, he's not an Italian. Who is he? And how did he, in fact, use The Godfather as his inspiration for a hell of a career, actually? Yeah, total inspiration. Who would have thought of this? Well, obviously he did, and it sure did work. All right, Gwen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I don't have a name, but I want to say a career in making nice suits.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
But that's nice. All right, no clothing involved.
Alrighty. Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
All right, so we've ruled out food and clothing. We've ruled out Italians. We've ruled out mobsters, and not principally a movie star or anything like that. So anything like that. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And let's see, what are we doing here? I believe, I don't know if I have, or I don't know if I have. I don't think I did. So I'll do it now. I'll in moments, I'll return, I think, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is that? That should certainly be American as far as that goes. And the Beatles glommed onto it early on and made it part of their act. All right, so who is he? 888-876-5593. Well, we're coming down to the last, oh, I'd say 20 minutes at most, 15 minutes before I reveal. Maybe you'll get it. Most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created a career based on it. Who and what? All right, so Chris is in Lancaster, Ohio. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thanks, Raleigh. I also know the bumper you just played, that Slow Down by Larry Williams.
Absolutely. Well, you're a winner for that, but you want to guess on our... our guy who The Godfather was the inspiration for?
Well, when you said he wasn't Italian, I kind of doubted it, but Don Novello, Father Guido Sarducci.
Yeah, that's great. It's not. He is Italian, by the way, Italian and Irish. And he was from
Ashtabula.
Yeah, he's from
Ashtabula.
Yeah,
that's why I was reluctant to call.
Yeah, but no, that's a great guess. But he was an ad guy for years, working for Leo Burnett in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he certainly, as Father Guido Sarducci, had a heck of a career. So, no, but
well,
I love it.
I thought I'd throw it out there just because I hadn't heard anybody else say it.
Yeah, no, it's a totally great answer. It's just not right. Other than that, it's just perfect. But hang on a minute. You're a winner for knowing you're Larry Williams, so don't go away. All right,
Thank you.
Good deal. Good to hear from Chris. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, more guesses? Well, I don't know. Kathy in Linton, Indiana, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi again.
Yes.
I'm wondering if it might be Barack Obama.
Oh, my God, no. No.
No. Okay. Well, there was a whole article on how much he admired the Godfather movies.
Interesting. Well, I was going to say,
so, yeah,
if he was taking his tips from that, he wasn't publicly admitting it, but I don't know. Maybe in that article he was. Yeah. It's a really scary thought, Kathy. I don't know that I want to really go any further with that. Oh, my God. Could be right,
Thank
though.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for trying. Mm-hmm. All right. So it might. No, let's not. All right. Oh, painful, I tell you. Painful. All right. So James is going to guess more, but we got to see Laura in Willowbrook, see what she thinks. So, Laura, what do you think?
Probably where you're, I got to throw some wild ones out there, but you're going to laugh at what I'm going to say. But when you, I thought I heard, or maybe I'm dreaming in my head, that was a part-time actor, but mainly did other stuff. And my first thought came to mind was Ronald Reagan.
Oh, my God, no.
What do you think?
No.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thanks for trying, though. I appreciate it. Yeah, can't even imagine that, but that's for the best. Now, let's see what Cleveland Dennis has to say. What do you think, Dennis?
I think it's Donald Trump.
That's hilarious. No, it's not. Thanks for trying, though. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I knew Larry Williams, too.
Yeah.
That's some of them specialty 45.
Yes, it was. Well, there's going to be one more, and you'll know it, too.
I hope so.
Oh, I know okay. so. Talk to you later. All right,
well,
thanks.
All right, bye.
Good deal, yeah. So we'll throw this out. It's not a politician, all right? So we're ruling that out as well. So, yeah. All right, sooner or later, somebody is going to get it, I think. So, meantime, Jimmy P. on the South Side, what's up tonight?
How you doing, Riley? You've been talking about the Beatles all night, you know, and, I've been weaned on R&B and doo-wops, and I got two songs that I really enjoy listening. I hate to admit it, but I enjoy listening by the Beatles.
Yeah.
One of them is... First of all, I despise the Beatles and their culture.
Yeah.
But the first one was Something.
Really? Okay.
And I like Woman by John Lennon.
All right. All right.
So I got that out. But this Stragler, is he a not a politician?
Nope, not a politician.
Is he a musician?
No, but we don't want to completely eliminate all the categories. So
you got me guessing.
Good.
All right. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So, Guilty Pleasure, Something in Woman. Yeah, why not? All right. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we'll go back to James on the South Side. All right, James, what do you think?
Okay. Berry Gordy.
Next.
Okay. Dr. Jerry Buss.
Next.
Okay, Magic Johnson.
Next.
Larry Bird.
Next.
Michael Jordan.
Next. Big finish.
Okay, I'm going to say Wilt Chamberlain.
Talk to you again. Thanks. All right.
Okay.
So there you have it. So, yeah, I would say that in fair short order, I'll just reveal it. But I am, you know, you never know. I can't guess. Sometimes I throw out questions that I think you're going to go for, you know, the full 9 yards in 2 weeks and all that, and you get it like the second caller. And then this one I have had in my notes for over a year, and I thought, I'm not going to throw that out. They'll get it right away. But most of us would not view The Godfather as an inspirational movie, but one American created a career based on it. Who and what? All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. You got one more bumper stumper coming up. I think I've just picked it. So it'll be another Beatles cover, and you'll know who it is. You'll find out in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, the Beatles covered it. No, and Ringo was singing it. He didn't change it to Girls. Does make you wonder, but at the time, none of us wondered. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh and Cleveland Dennis knows his bumpers. So, all right, what'd you hear that you know?
Well, can we turn that radio off in the background? Can we guess about an author that did the Godfather effect?
Well, you can guess anything you want, but you know the bumper, so you're going to be a winner for that.
Well, I know that. The Shirelles, I saw them live in 1969, and lead singer still, I can see your face looking at me and smiling.
Well, there you are.
Great.
All right. Yeah. So, yes, you're absolutely right. It was the Shirelles, Luther Dixon involved in that, obviously. And that was our final Beatle cover for the night.
Yeah, all Beatle covers.
Yes.
Okay, so for your question, how about the book, The Godfather Effect, Tom Santopietro?
Nope.
I think that's all I got.
All right. Well, you certainly know your Shirelles and everything else, so hold on. We'll add to your stash. Don't go away. All right, so that's the deal. Those are all the bumper stumpers. I was going to play some others, but there were many from which to choose, obviously. But you got them just about all. Let me see. Well, nobody got Devil in His Heart. Now, that is surprising to me. That was the Donnays on Brent in 1962. They were a Detroit group. And you also didn't get Mr. Moonlight, which somewhat surprised me as well. That was Dr. Feelgood and the Interns, you know, Piano Red from Atlanta. And that was the flip side of Feelgood. So, that's the deal. So on OK, of course. All right, now, let's see. We're going to get some guesses here. And then, of course, I will reveal... in short order. Johnny D, taking another guess, what do you think?
Well, I got a couple few of them, Wally. On one, and another thing, I've seen Bob Seger in the Silver Bullet Band in 1969.
That's nice.
But anyhow, you know that lawyer guy that does the commercials and he goes, "I'll make them pay."
No, but I...
You know what I'm talking about?
They're in every market, I'm sure. No, I don't know the particular lawyer to which you're referring, but every market has them.
Yeah, he's like a bald guy. He wears pinstripe suits and stuff like that. Yeah. All right. Anyhow, not that. Then how about Rush Limbaugh?
Nope.
Sean Hannity?
Nope.
Michael Savage?
No.
What Billy happened Cunningham? To
him? No. Whatever happened to Michael Savage? I haven't bothered.
Oh, he's still on. He does podcasts.
Oh, does he? Okay, just checking. All right, well, long live him, I guess. All right, none of those people.
All right.
All right, thanks.
I thought it was that lawyer. I don't know who he is.
Yeah. Well,
he's got all the channels.
Well, it's probably a lawyer indigenous to Ohio, you see, because usually they're only licensed in one state. And every state
he dresses in pinstripe suits. He wears fedoras. And he goes, "I'll make them pay."
Let's see if I can look it up. Because they're probably on YouTube. He's an injury lawyer in Ohio, Tim Misney.
Okay, him. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Misney. Him, huh? No, but he, and I love the questions people asking online. Is he a real lawyer? Yes, he's a real lawyer. But that's what it is. But no, so we wouldn't see them in other states because he's only licensed.
Oh, I thought he was all over the country and everything.
No. He's basically Northern Ohio for the most part. But yeah,
Northeast Ohio,
right? Yeah. The eyebrow arch and the pinstripe suit and I'll make them pay. Yeah, that's the deal. That's Tim Misney. But no, we don't get him.
He's not Italian.
Well, I have no idea. You know, remember?
He's not.
Well,
he's
not Italian. We don't. Oh, you know that? What was his mother?
I don't know, but she wasn't Italian.
How do you know that?
I just know, Rowling. I can tell by looking at that.
You can tell by looking. All right. So
yes.
Now, what is Tim Misney? You're looking. What is he?
Well, he's, my guess would be that he's Ukrainian.
Well, he's from Cleveland, obviously. From Euclid, I should say. And he's pretty close to Ukrainian. He's a Slovakian.
Well, that's what I say, Eastern European.
Yeah, he's Slovakian, and
same thing.
Yeah, and so his paternal grandfather changed his name from Janos Mizanayan to Mizny after emigrating, and his maternal grandmother, grandfather, was Joseph Vulik, a Croatian immigrant.
That's what I'm saying. Croatian, Slovakia, Ukraine, and all.
So Eastern European, yes. All right.
It wasn't them. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Yeah, so I can never tell by looking. I mean, you could be anything. All right, but so Tim Mizny, I'm sure if you're in Ohio, you know this guy because his commercials, especially in the northern half of Ohio, are everywhere. All right, so let's see what Karen in Chicago thinks. What do you think, Karen?
I'm going with Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff, that's interesting. No, no.
We've got a lot of politicians, I thought maybe some crooks.
No. And if he did pattern his life after The Godfather, I don't think he would have publicly admitted it. This guy did.
Probably not.
All right.
Well, I never thought of that. Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me try.
Glad you did. Yeah, I don't think you'd want to go with The Godfather of Finance for your for your investment advice. But then again, who knows? Maybe so. All right, so quick guesses from Sherry in Naperville. What do you think, Sherry?
Oh, as I heard Johnny D, my first guess now is John Travolta.
I love it. Not right. What's next?
Okay, this is, I found this website or whatever it was called, Looper.com, and what it was really like seeing The Godfather in 1972. But they went through the eras and things like the Vietnam War and Watergate skin. I'm going to guess Newt Gingrich?
Nope.
Okay. This is one guess. Roger Ebert or
nope.
Gene Siskel?
Nope.
All right. Because you said maybe they acted and yep. They
nope.
Didn't really. My other things. But that was the one where she said they weren't involved in movies.
Well, no, I didn't say that. It's not George Lucas. Oh. It's somebody whose not primary career would not be movies.
The only reason I said that is because I think before The Godfather, there weren't any trilogies.
Okay.
And
Star Wars
was a trilogy originally, so... Yeah.
Right, but
and
not
I
right.
remember standing in the line for that movie in the 70s.
All right. Keep listening. You'll hear it in moments.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But this... Looper.com, what was it really like?
Yeah, well, see,
awesome to read.
Well, that's great, but don't tell me this because...
For anybody else.
Right. No, what I'm saying is I really don't appreciate when people are trying to go online to find answers. All right.
No,
thanks.
I understand it.
Okay.
But this was really eye-opening for that era, including the Italian-American community and everything. I mean,
Okay, got to go. Bye. Thanks.
Okay.
All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And I quickly want to take a couple other guesses, and then I'll reveal because we're at the real last seconds here. Karen and Madison, what do you think?
Did you say Karen?
Yes, I did.
Okay, Whitey Bulger?
Nope.
Okay, well, it was worth a try.
Yes, it is, and I'm glad you called. Oh, thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
All right, so I guess finishing the guesses for the night, and then I'll reveal, unless he happens upon a lucky guess real quickly. So you got to be quick, James. Give them to me all. James. No, we've lost James? All right, well, that was quick enough. All right, like I say, I've had this question up here for over a year easily, and I thought you'd get it right away, and it's an absolutely true story. Rodney Dangerfield. Now you got to understand, Rodney Dangerfield started out as a comic, and it was so bad for him that, and we're talking about, you know, a guy who was born in 1921. So by the 40s is funny because he said, you know, he quit show business, and he was the only one who knew he quit. And he wound up, you know, doing everything from being a singing waiter and selling aluminum siding and all that kind of stuff. And in the 60s, he started to try and revive his career, and it wasn't going many places. He was a salesman by day. He was in the Catskills. And in fact, he joked about one of the clubs he played, saying, "I played one club. It was so far out, my act was reviewed in Field and Stream." And, you know, you can almost see what's coming. He realized at this point that he needed an image. He wasn't yet Rodney Dangerfield. He was Jack Roy. His given name was Jacob Rodney Cohen, but his father had changed his name to something similar to Jack Roy, and so he went with that. And but he realized, you know, I got to have some kind of a thing, you know, something that will make me stand out from the crowd. And he said, I got to have an image, a well-defined persona. So he decided he'd take the name Rodney Dangerfield. And he got that from a Jack Benny program, like in the early 40s, where an actor was referenced that Jack had invited him to the Christmas party. His name was Rodney Dangerfield, and Mary Livingstone said, never heard of him, you know. And there's another one where he was a movie star on Jack's Christmas card lift. It was kind of a bit. And so he decided, I'm going to do that. And so he debuted as Rodney Dangerfield in the latter 60s. And it was starting to get some traction, but it was still really missing that hook. Now, it was getting enough traction that not only was he appearing on some of the late-night TV shows and all that, but he teamed up with a friend and built Dangerfields in New York where he could perform regularly and all that kind of stuff. And what happened, though, after 1972, he went to see The Godfather. And you know the deal in The Godfather. It's respect. Show us some respect. I want respect. I'm with him, okay? Respect. On and on, right? So he said, you know, yeah, he said, I don't get no respect. And of course, that line was followed by all his various one-liners, you know. When I was a kid, they played hide and seek. They wouldn't even look for me, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there were hundreds of lines, and one funnier than the next. And this caught on overnight. Yeah, one night I asked a cabbie to take me where the action is. He took me to my own house. Yeah, right. But let's see. There are just, I won't bother, but there are so many. But anyhow, he wound up, when he saw the immediate reaction, like that night, saying, I found my image. And he stuck with that respect thing. And in fact, in 1980, he won a Grammy for No Respect, the Grammy, the album. And, you know, it was everything from rapping Rodney to, you know, early MTV stuff and to some movies, like I say, you know, like a little Caddyshack, stuff like that. But overall, he was a comedian and a failed comedian until he went to The Godfather, saw that repeatedly and said, I'm going to try that. Respect. I don't get no respect. His entire career, Rodney Dangerfield, was based on The Godfather. And on that note, we will be an hour late tomorrow. So that will be an 11 o'clock Central Time start. And that's 22 hours from now. And until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Talk to you tomorrow night. I hope right here on WGN Radio.